Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. Well, we got stuff to talk about. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, she's the queen of improv, the first lady of Atlanta baseball. She likes tofu, and she is the leader of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. And back from his Philadelphia Eagles fan retreat, where he watched him drop a banner that they didn't want to talk about, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews and his creepy wave.
Somebody waved like that this weekend as an NFL player. I can't remember who it was now, because I remember watching it going, dude, going to have to say something to Dylan. But
was it an Eagle player? Because that's probably where Dylan got it from.
I want to say it was a Bills player last night, maybe.
Sounds like I'm going to have to copyright the wave. It was like stealing it.
You weird wave.
Can't copyright something you didn't invent, I don't think. It was, by the way.
Ding.
The fans and the players' interaction last night in the Baltimore game was a little rough. You know, Lamar Jackson shoved a fan that was in the stands.
I loved it.
Had the fan did it. Now, in defense of Lamar, I'm not coming at Lamar. I need to see more of it. But the fan did, like, basically shove the head of another Raven in the helmet.
On the wide angle, he like mugged it. We used to call that mugging. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what y'all called that, but we used to call it mugging each other in high school. Just, ow.
It's one of those deals where I don't like that from the fan at all. 100% should be ejected. Lamar probably needs to restrain as well, because that puts him in a bad spot, in the league in a bad spot. And I don't want that becoming a thing with the player fan.
He's defending
physical.
His friends.
I have no issue with his actions. I just don't want it to see it become a trend, because it leads down a bad road. And you know, how that goes. And then now we'll have nets up on football games eventually because of that. I mean, that's where you go.
The bigger issue with that is you saw on one of Derrick Henry's runs, somebody tried to hit him with a water bottle as he got in the end zone. Mm. That was unfortunate.
Well,
that's neither here nor there. It was crazy.
I feel like there are a lot of situations this weekend. I feel like it's kind of like a ripple effect from the Jalen Carter incident Thursday night. Everyone's just like, oh, they need to be ejected. Eject them. Eject them. Mm. It was just all over the place. Mm. As far as the show today, 6:40, I'm going to try to help us shake off any negativity you might be feeling with a game for the Mac drop this morning. 8 o'clock, we've got Man Up Monday. We'll see how Mike and Bo's picks went from Friday. 8:20, former Falcons quarterback and Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer will join us. He can help shed some light on what went right and what went wrong yesterday. All right, now, though, I do want to give credit where credit is due. Mike, I saw someone, I believe, trying to bait Bo on Twitter. Maybe bait is a strong word, but they were trying to they were giving you the runway to be the most negative person you could have been.
You mean the bad weekend?
The bad weekend, yeah. Where they laid out everything that went wrong, that you have to work on Sunday, da-da-da, and you're just like, my weekend was great.
There you go.
I was like, look at Bo turning this around, not taking the bait there.
Oh boy.
You know what? First off, that means a lot to me that you noticed, honestly, because some people in here want to criticize to the nth degree on me and my Twitter interactions, but will never give the credit that I'm due at times. I'm not looking.
Nth degree.
I'm not looking at anybody,
stole
Michael.
That from me.
You're the first person to ever use it.
I used it 2 minutes ago. What are you talking about?
But I just want to throw it back on you. But the reality of the situation is, I don't know where that came from. I do think that I have a different outlook on what happened yesterday than a lot of the fans, which is good and bad. Mm-hmm. I think mainly good. But I did. I looked at that tweet, and I'm standing in the locker room, by the way.
Ding.
When that tweet came through, and I go, no, I didn't have a bad weekend. My weekend was Friday night. We went to dinner, Cancun's, and then it was Saturday. I watched football all day. Went to Cancun. Went to casino night. And then hung out with my friends and my buddy Connor, who is my buddy Carter's neighbor, and he listens to the show. He lives in Tampa. He was up for member guest. And I had a great, and then my weekend was over. Sunday morning when I woke up, I had to go to work. And I love my job. My teams had a bad week, both of them. And one worry worse than the other, but I don't know. I was hit with the positive stick. I got a beautiful kid at home, you know, so she's smiley and happy. And so I just didn't feel negative. But I mean, nobody wants to hear about my weekend. They want to hear about, you know, what happened yesterday. But yeah, I didn't feel the need to go negative or go nuclear.
Well, and it's week one. If you start going nuclear right now, we got a long fall ahead of us. And I think that's, you know, the vibes we usually try to put out on this show, right?
Right.
The sky's never fallen. It's just about making the adjustments and going full speed ahead.
There are no Chicken Littles on this show,
there
but let's get into it a little bit. The Falcons did lose yesterday 23-20 to the Tampa Bay Bucks. A lot of fingers being pointed at Younghoe Koo because he missed that field goal, which could have extended the game. Obviously, a very disappointing outcome overall. What all did you guys notice yesterday? What did you see? Who do you want to give credit to?
Credit goes to Michael Penix, I think, first and foremost. I think we've all kind of wondered, and a lot of this goes back to Kirk Cousins starting, you know, the first half of last season, most of last season. Kirk Cousins played at a very high level for the first half of last season. And you wondered, okay, Michael Penix taking over. I think we all knew and expect him to be more consistent throughout the entirety of the season and obviously throughout, hopefully, the next 10 years or whatever it may be. But there is always that feeling of when you have a new starting quarterback in week one, like, are you going to get the same output? I thought he played incredibly. I thought he matched Baker Mayfield in a lot of different ways, which I don't think most people even expected, just in terms of grit and determination and kind of putting the team on his shoulders at times. So I would say, first and foremost to me, you point to Michael Penix and say, dude, what a great era of quarterback play we could possibly be entering into with him at the helm and him playing under center.
Oh, yeah, he showed a lot yesterday. I take great pleasure in every time he is forced to move and when he scrambles and makes a play with his legs because, look, I don't think he's Mike Vick or Justin Fields or Lamar Jackson or, you know, even Josh Allen or, you know, name the quarterback. But he's pretty freaking athletic, and he's pretty nifty with his feet. He can run. He's got good straight-line speed. And I thought he showed his athleticism yesterday and that he's not, again, not the guys I just mentioned in a dual threat quarterback, but if he needs to make a play, he's just as bit to me, if not even more athletic and nimble in the pocket than Baker Mayfield. And it's a really good point, Mike, that you brought up. You know, you gave up 101 yards rushing, I believe, yesterday to Tampa. 39 of that was to Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And they were not designed plays. They were at moments where you got pressure, and because of either gap in your pass rush, gap integrity, or just, you know, Mike, you mentioned to me earlier, and I don't want to take your thing, but it's your credit to you. You said, look, if you're rushing only four, there's always going to be a little gap that if he can find that crease, boom.
Right.
And I thought he did a good job of that. But I thought Michael Penix did as well, especially that next to last drive where you put the touchdown when you went 91 yards. Don't hit me. Can I just say something real quick? Don't hit me with the, well, it was aided by penalties. That's great, it was, but it's not your fault that you forced them to make mistakes.
Their last drive was aided by penalties too, the one to Luka Rororo. I mean, there was just a number of different things. The Falcons had more penalties than the Buccaneers did, so that just kind of is what it is. Not only that, but you were backed up on the very final drive. With the field goal attempt that Younghoe Koo missed because of a penalty on special teams against Kadarius Hodge.
Mm-hmm.
You were backed up all the way to the 14. So there's always going to be give and take with that. That is probably one thing that I look at and I'm like, man, I wish we could clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he had a bunch of turnovers, needed the day, he didn't create turnovers, but the penalties were frustrating as far as Elijah Wilkinson having two procedural penalties.
We saw that in the preseason from him too when he played left tackle. Mm-hmm. He tries to get a jump.
Yeah.
In the second preseason game against the Titans.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a number of different things. I think Chris Lindstrom had a penalty as well. It was just a bunch of things that you look at and go, man, if you could clean that up, you can, you know, keep yourself out of some bad situations. But what's crazy enough is more times than not, you overcame them. I mean, sometimes when you have false starts like that on the right tackle spot, it can be a drive killer. And Michael Penix did a nice job of stepping up in those situations and, you know, kind of making sure that they didn't that he didn't let that happen. So I just thought, you know, for the most part, I knew all eyes would be on him. We talked about it in yesterday's countdown to kickoff. It's like, dude, Michael Penix era is here. Let's see what we got. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you didn't come out victorious, but I thought you feel really good about where he's at coming out of yesterday's game. I think that was a lot of the national narrative as well.
Yeah, and somebody, you know, I was on Twitter very active last night, not as much as normal after a win or a loss, but someone said to me, well, we couldn't afford to lose this game. First off, it's first game of the year. It wasn't a win or go home kind of game, but we're behind the eight ball now in the division. And I just responded, I was like, look, yeah, it's definitely a game you wanted to win, and nobody, I'm all in it, but you know, you beat them twice last year and still lost the division. So it's very, just because you lost the first game, which was a division game to the division favorite, doesn't mean, you know, fire sale and the sky is falling and, let's just sound the alarms.
Well, and I have a lot of stats to go over, compare this one to last year's Thursday night's game. I don't want to get into that just yet, but I will say, remember we talked about it Friday, how much of the last season hinged on the fact that that referee touched down that ball when he spotted it when you lined up for the game time field goal. He just touched the ball. Instead of picking it up and spotting him, that would have ended the game. He touched it and put it down. It felt like in a lot of different ways this game was almost exactly like that at the end. You just didn't make the kick. Yeah. And I've got a lot of stats lined up for the people that think the sky is falling and how good we felt after that night when Kirk Cousins is throwing for a franchise record 509 yards. It's like we're really close, if not in a better place, compared to that game, just 1 year ago. So we'll kind of get into that throughout the show. But, yeah, I mean, there was some encouraging things yesterday, there's no doubt. And, you know, you got to take the bad with the good, but I didn't feel awful coming off of yesterday's game.
Yeah, there were so many tricky little variables that could have swayed the outcome of yesterday's game either way. But we do want to know your thoughts. It's Reaction Monday. We want to hear how you're feeling. So get on Twitter. Join the thread we've got going on right now at 929 Morning Shift. We will read those on air. And coming up, I think we've kind of got a broad picture of what went down yesterday at Mercedes-Benz, but we'll get into the nitty-gritty, hear from Raheem Morris and a few Falcons next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game. It is The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is back behind the glass. We're about to get into Bo and Mike's takeaways from the Falcons game and hear from Raheem and Michael Penix. But with football going on officially now, week one went down from the diamond is kind of a moving target at this point. So Saturday at noon, you can get the most comprehensive coverage of Major League Baseball, courtesy of our Braves insider, Grant McCauley. Grant will bring you up to date all the latest news on the Braves with exclusive interviews and analysis you can only get on From the Diamond. This week's show, again, is moved to Saturday at noon. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and buy 50 Floor. Visit 50floor.com for your free in-home estimate. It's From the Diamond with Grant McCauley this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, let's talk about yesterday. Falcons lost 23-20 to the Bucs. And we kind of just broadly talked about what happened in the game, but I'm curious what your opinion is. What are your overall takeaways and what you saw yesterday? Because there was a lot to like.
Yeah, there was a lot to like. And I think overall, and you guys know this is my biggest worry. We've talked so much about pass rush that I felt like we talked to Josh Kendall, numerous different people. I was really worried about the run defense. And I thought that was going to be a massive issue going into the game, so much to the fact that I tweeted out the starting defensive line on the very first play because I thought it was very intriguing. I was like, what kind of front are we going to come out in? They started Leonard Floyd, Brandon Dorlus, David Onyemata, and Zach Harrison. I didn't see that quadfecta coming up. So interesting stuff.
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought you got good pressure, Mike. I thought you did, that Ulbrich did a good job, especially early, bringing some kind of blitzes and some exotic stuff. Not say exotic, but just sending guys up the middle. It didn't. You only got the one sack, which Bowman and Diablo were a part of. But, you know, Baker did a good job of eluding. But at one point in the game, and I want to say it was, it might have been either late second or early third quarter, the TV posted a stat about how he was like 0 for 6 or 7 when they sent pressure.
Yeah.
And then without it, he was better. You didn't get home as much as you wanted to, but it's not that. It wasn't that you weren't getting pressure and you weren't making him uncomfortable. You made him uncomfortable. But the fact of the matter is you didn't get home as much as you'd hoped to or honestly wanted to. And that's a problem. That's part of it.
That's frustrating nonetheless. And I know that a lot of people, like I said, Allie, focused on the pass rush, focused on James Pierce, focused on other players. I don't think that if you gave me $100 to put a bet on which Falcons rookie would end up with the first sack, I don't think any of us were taking Billy Bowman. Like, I don't think Billy Bowman was going to be on the bingo card as the Falcons rookie that gets the first sack of the year.
Okay, would you have put on the bingo card that probably the most effective new starter on defense was Devon Diablo? Because you could make that argument.
I don't know. It wouldn't have been as far down my list as Billy Bowman getting a sack, no. And I would also say I agree with you wholeheartedly. And he was, he was our defensive player of the game. I think Xavier Watts had a really, really good game was inches away from having a couple of massive plays. Had an interception in his hands and also barely missed one of the throws to Emeka Egbuka. So, yeah, I mean, just in terms of overall takeaways, Allie, I think that when you really focused in on what my biggest worries were going into the game, the Falcons' run defense really, really stepped up and was able to step up to plate against Bucky Irving and Rashad White and those other running backs.
Well, and look, we are going to open up the phone lines for you today. We want to hear how you felt about yesterday's performance, 404-726-0929. You can also tweet us, if you're a little bit shy, at 929 Morning Shift. Let's hear from Raheem Morris, because the biggest question going into the season was Penix. Like, what is this going to look like? What is the Penix era? Here is Raheem talking about that.
Yeah, particularly at the end. No matter what the situation was, he was ready. He was willing to go out there and battle for us. He did a great job at the end, scrambling to get a touchdown. Did a great job at the end, putting us in position to kick a field goal to put that thing in overtime. Did a great job putting us in position to try to and possibly win it. I couldn't be more proud of the young quarterback and what he did today.
Love it.
Yeah.
Echo everything he just said.
Yeah.
And that, I think that should be the Falcons fans, not the biggest focus, but like, I'll get some numbers to you guys in a minute and compare things to last year's Thursday night game. It's not as like dire situation as people want to make it out to be. Young Wei Koo missed a field goal, and that's something operationally you have to do to win games. Now, you want to go in depth about what's the future of Young Wei Koo? That's probably another focus of people calling in today.
Yes.
At some point, but that's hazy at best. You just cannot continue to go down this road with him throughout every game this season where you're not sure if he's going to be able to knock one through to send it to overtime or to win a game.
I thought Elijah Wilkinson played, other than the couple of procedural penalties, he had one moment where it looked like he tripped coming out of his stance, which I believe was the fourth down scramble that Penix made. It looked like he kind of just coming out of his stance, he looked like he tripped as, I don't know, his own feet or the turf monster or whatever, but kind of same, but I didn't think the interior played very well, though, of the offensive line. I didn't think Newsel played great. Now, it's a tough ask for him and Lindstrom and Bergeron all have to go against Vita Vea at some point. I didn't think Lindstrom had a couple moments, had a couple of he had a one-on-one with Vita Vea on that fourth and that first fourth down where that didn't go well. Bergeron, to me, had some I've seen a couple of times already just a little bit of film I've watched where he didn't diagnose and get over on a switch when they ran stunts and that hurt them. So
I know exactly which player you're talking about. That unfortunate situation for sure, and he's got to switch that off. They ran a run stunt into a play action pass, which is a recipe for absolute disaster, and he did not handle it well. I will say though, if you want some stuff that makes me happy, go watch the second play from scrimmage. Algier runs a wide zone. Bergeron absolutely buries a dude. And it was like, yes! Feels so good about this! to the point where Algier had to jump over the guy on the ground that Bergeron had just dumped off. Algier just jumped over him and got like a 5-yard gain. I'm with you, though. I don't think the interior played well. I find it interesting that we've talked about kind of making changes in the offensive run scheme, and your change was to go with more duo. And duo against Vita Vea with Ryan Newsom and Chris Lindstrom is not going to work. Like, that's not going to be a winning combination. They're not built for that. You know, they both, you know, they're probably both in the 300-pound range, and he's in the 350. And well, it's just like, dude.
Yes, yeah, he's.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
He's listed at.
It's not going to work. He swims one of them, so they can't double team him, and he's going to bury everybody else in the backfield. So I think there's some changes to make in that aspect. But nonetheless, he was. It was a struggle up the middle, and always has been against Vita Vea since you've gone to this style of run game.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up Vita Vea, because he was one of the guys we were talking about on Friday. He didn't practice 2 days in a row. Did end up practicing on Friday, but some of the Bucs showed up that we weren't expecting. Of course, Tristan Wirfs was out, but Godwin was in.
No, Godwin was not in. Emeka Egbuka, yeah. Chris Godwin did not play, and he probably won't play for a couple weeks for them. Emeka Egbuka made his debut in his steed, though, and I thought Emeka Egbuka looked every bit as advertised, right? I mean, he was just – we talked about him a bunch last week of, like, he's the one rookie – definitely in the NFC South, but if not in the NFL, that you've just heard lore, just legends about in terms of what he was going to be able to do. And sure enough, steps up to the plate with a couple of touchdowns.
He was honestly my fear, because he's so good. Look, Mike Evans had I don't want to sit here and downplay it, because our star receiver, who I think is Drake, had 8 for 55, but Mike Evans had 5 for 51. And in the grand scheme of things, If you walk away and you say we held Bucky Irvin to 2.5 yards a carry, that's a win.
Yep.
We held Baker Mayfield 167 yards passing. That's a win.
Yep.
You held Mike Evans to 51 yards on 5 catches with no touchdowns. That's a win.
Yep.
Yet, reality, Egbuka only had 4 catches for 67 yards, but 2 were touchdowns. And they were great plays by Baker too. The reality is Baker had 39 on himself where he kept plays alive. So that's a win for them, and he had 3 touchdown passes. So to your point that you said earlier about, and I don't want to step on your toes here, about it mirroring the Thursday night game last year. You know how many yards Baker Mayfield threw for?
Yep.
Last year against us on Thursday night?
170.
I think it was 180. But you know what he had? 3 touchdowns.
I was going to say, it was a lot the same. Their rushing was a lot better. But when you look at, like, the penalties, our run game, everything, that he was sacked one time last year for 7 yards. Difference is, Younghoe makes the field goal to send it overtime last year, and he didn't make it yesterday.
Well, let's go on out to the phone lines. We have Randy and McDonough calling in. Randy, how are you doing this morning? What are your thoughts about yesterday's game?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up? What's up? How y'all doing?
Good.
You know I listen to the show.
Appreciate you.
But listen, guys. And this is how I feel about it yesterday. It's a division game. So if people saying, oh, we don't look good, this and that, blah, 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 I don't like it. Man, the division games, you know it's going to be a dog fight, man. You know it's going to be tough. We know each other. They know us. We know them. But it's just the little things that we get together. And like I said, I think I just put it on Twitter. Man, we can't keep crossing our fingers when he's come on the field.
Yep.
I'm tired. I'm tired of crossing our fingers and hoping and praying. So, yep. You know, I feel like it's a time to do something. And, you know, I hate to talk about the cornerback position, but, hey, we have to find a way to make some of them plays over there with you. But other than that, man, I like what I saw. That's it. Yep. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for the phone call, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Randy.
I completely agree with what he's talking about. And Mike Hughes on the game-winning touchdown to Emeka Egbuka is, what, 3 inches away from mm-hmm. tipping that ball? I mean, he's right there. He's in phase. Just can't quite get his fingertip on it. And credit to the rookie for making that play and Baker for a really great throw. But, you know, Randy's right. You cannot continue to ask questions every time your kicker runs on the field if whether or not you're going to be able to make that kick to send it overtime.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we can criticize, you know, everybody, every play that wasn't made, but all these games come down to, what, 4 or 5 plays, and, you know, Mike Hughes just outside of his grasp Caden Ellis has a chance for a pick, doesn't make it. Watts had two chances, missed both of them, and just barely. Like, I'm not criticizing. I'm saying you were just centimeters and inches away from this game being completely different. And look, that's the team that we saw yesterday will not be the team we see in week 18, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I will say this as well. You want to talk about comparisons to last year's Thursday night game? How about this one? They had 50% on third down conversions last year on Thursday night. We had 40. Same exact stats as yesterday. The same exact third down percentage and everything. So, got to get it done.
Yeah, and the stat, no way, you know, 33rd team put out the stat that we generated pressure on 40% of their dropbacks, which is was third best in the league, or fourth best yesterday.
Well, the Falcons will be the through line of the show all morning long. Feel free to keep tweeting at us at 929 Morning Shift. It is Reaction Monday. Coming up next, though, we are going to run through week two of college football, and we've got my Allie Mack drop. The sounds of football are back, and we'll see what other sounds are just burned in your mind. That is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
The Odyssey.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Beau Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. And we are basically letting you take over the show today. Call in if you have any opinions on yesterday's game. I'm sure you do. 404-726-0929. We will get to college football in a minute. But I want to go out to North Atlanta. Danny has hung on the line to give us his thoughts on yesterday's Falcons game. Danny, what's going on?
Well, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm 67 years old. Before you all were even born, I was 9 years old. It was 1969, and the Falcons needed a kick from Bill Bell to beat the Rams, and they missed a 10-yard field goal. So all those memories come back. And guys, I mean, that was a heavyweight fight yesterday. Tampa Bay's got a very good football team. They made plays. We made plays. But how many more games is Koo going to lose before a move is made? Craig, he hit a 57-yard in the preseason. I mean, why did they even bring him in anyway? And I can't watch anymore until Koo is gone. I'm sorry. Can't do it. Have a good day.
I will say this. I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thanks, Danny.
Look, here's the issue. We all watched Lenny Krieg during training camp practices, and it wasn't good. All right? So I know that a lot of people focus on that 57-yarder. That was fine. He also missed like a 50-yarder in that game, and we watched him during training camp practices. Not good. There were days when he was like 205. So don't go back and say, why didn't Krieg win the battle? Dude, it wasn't even close. Like, at no point was that a close position battle in the way that that was, you know, approached. So I think we can stop right there with the Lenny Krieg talk. I think it has to be addressed for sure, but that's not the answer for me.
No, we do have a lot of tweets coming in with a lot of opinions on the Koo situation. T. Tobias 23 said, Koo, yes, an issue. I listen to Mike Johnson every time he talks about our offensive run scheme.
There you go.
We have no gap, trap, or power scheme. OC is stuck on wide zone. He calls plays on Hope Algiers or Bijan breaks a run. Enough is enough. Figure it out.
And thank you for listening to that, sir, Mr. Tobias. I completely agree with half of this. Now, wide zone is not run on Hope. It has multiple thousand-yard rushers in this Atlanta offense. It works, but it does work a lot between the 20s. I will say, it's not so much the fact that we don't pull guards. I'm kind of getting over that, although we pulled Bergeron on a play to the left where Bijan lost 3 yards yesterday, so I'm going to like kind of hang my hat off of that one. The problem is when you run wide zone, you have to build in some sort. We have no misdirection in our run game. Like, that's one of my big sticking points right now is there is no misdirection. There's no mystery where the ball's going. There's no, like, hey, this might go to the A-gap or it might – you know, counter steps out of the running back. There's no orbit motion going behind him when we run the ball. We run duo, which is a gap scheme. There's just no pullers. We run duo yesterday. It wasn't very good. And we run wide zone. And, look, they were geared up to stop the run. If you go back and watch the tape, and I'm watching it right now, five-man fronts, you know, covering all offensive linemen, things like that. That's why we're able to throw the ball at times. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's frustrating to watch, and I'm with you, Tobias. I think there needs to be more ingenuity, more imagination with the run game. But you're not just building that in on hope. You know, that is a fine-tuned run scheme for the most part, and that's what you do. That's what you were built around.
Yeah, it's like Chris Lindstrom told you and Dylan at training camp. We do what we're good at.
Yep.
We do what suits us the best, and some of that was mentioned, I don't think you want to see hope and a prayer. That's what you're going to get when you mix that in, because it's not what they're good at. And I mean, look, Lindstrom had an assignment yesterday on fourth and short to go against Vita Vea. It didn't work out well.
Nope.
I'm not saying it's fair to Lindstrom, but that was the thing. You want to do some of those things you're talking about. You're going to get more of that, and you're going to find out that they're running the scheme that is fit best for how they're built.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody wants to crap on the right tackle, that number 76 that we have here we've had here for years, and Caleb McGarry, about how he's not this and that. You sure as hell missed him yesterday, didn't you? Because I'm not saying Wilkinson played bad, but you're a better running team when Caleb McGarry's on the field. That's just how it is.
No doubt.
And you missed him yesterday in the run game. But that's also a team that you don't run the ball very well against anyways.
Keep those opinions coming on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift, or X if you're one of those that call it that, at 929 Morning Shift. We'll also take your calls throughout the show today as well. 404-726-0929. Let's get to some college football headlines real quick. Georgia beat Austin Peay 28-6. It was a slow start, y'all. Did you get a chance to watch this game?
A prototypical second weekend, rainy, you know, kind of muggy afternoon, whatever it may be. Just, I know a lot of people are frustrated, Georgia fans watching it. Look, you got a dub. You sit relatively healthy, but I know there was a big injury, but it is what it is. Just take it and walk away from it. It's just how I feel about it.
I think it's hard, too, in those games when you have a delay like that.
For sure.
I don't know how. I mean, I know how, but like, you go back and review what happened with the Eagles-Cowboys game. They didn't score a point in the second half, and they had a delay in second half?
Mm-hmm.
And it just throws everything off this early. If you're taking anything away from that game, then you're better than me, I guess.
Georgia Tech beat Gardner Webb 59-12. Hey, they're on their way to that 10-win season.
Only eight more to go.
Some Georgia Tech votes in the AP poll start to pop up. So
look,
let's go.
Clemson came back and handled things, but I believe that's their next game. Georgia Tech's next game is Clemson. So you look at it now, you're 2-0, and you've got probably the biggest game of the, you know, this. So they play Clemson the 13th, which is Saturday. So that's the biggest game of the year, really. If you want to look at it right now, that game could mean everything for Georgia Tech's season.
USF beats number 13 Florida in Gainesville 18-16.
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Probably a good thing.
No, I watched it.
Okay.
I watched it. I watched the end of Casino Night as I'm in the middle of a conversation. Someone's like, "Is everything all right?" I'm like, "No, I just lost." Florida looked horrific offensively. I mean, absolutely horrific. They looked out of sync. They couldn't get anything going. And when they did, they had penalties. And then you have a moronic move by a defensive player on the final drive for UCF to beat USF, to beat you, where you have a player spitting on another player.
That was such a bad spit.
What a trend.
That's why you people who wanted to give Jalen Carter a pass about not a big deal, Dak spit on the ground first. See, that's what happens is now, and I'm not blaming Jalen Carter, but when younger players see pros do something, they mimic it. Do you think it's any coincidence we had two spitting incidents in less than 2 days?
Right.
I hope it's a coincidence. It's a trend that has to stop, no doubt.
Well, Bill Belichick got his first win as UNC's head coach and confirmed Patriots are, yes, banned from North Carolina's facility. Now, I did look at the presser to see if there were balloons. No. But they were away. So I'm curious the next time they're home if those balloons are back.
I did see somebody tweet out and said, shout out to Jordan Sorority for putting together the balloon last weekend. I love it, man. It's good stuff.
And number 18, Oklahoma beat number 15, Michigan at home, 24-13.
Woo, buddy. That you got to get that cleaned up if you're Michigan, man. Rough stuff right there. Rough stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt it would play out. Good for John Mateer, by the way.
Ding.
Happy for him. Happy for Brent Venables, really.
Yep.
I don't really care about OU fans for the most part, but I like those two guys a lot. So I'm good. Whatever, dude. I mean, I'm glad that Michigan came down to Norman and went home with their cheating hearts upset.
Let's talk about some sounds that are absolutely burned in your mind.
You know, Dylan, there's a fine jar for being premature.
Well, I would have just gone ahead and spoke, but because the whole point of this segment today is about sounds that are burned in your mind, it's like the intro has to play. There we go. This is a sound that is burned in your mind. Football is back. This is the Fox NFL theme. We are so excited to hear this every weekend.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So this is our example of a sound that's burned in your mind.
All right.
I have sent Dylan a few more, and I want to see who can guess them first. Your name is your buzzer, as
always. Hang on. Let me get set for this. I didn't know we're naming the buzzer. Okay, here we go.
All right. Here we go. Number 7, Dylan.
Bo. Mike.
Bo.
Jurassic Park.
There you go.
Good stuff. I watched this all the time.
This is going to go so fast. All right, let's move on to number 6.
Mike.
Bo.
Mike got that one.
Fox Studios. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, technically, I'll give it to you. It's 20th Century Fox.
Okay, I was going to say.
I don't think that should count.
I was like, it's not Fox Studios, but I'm right there because I can see the emblem rotating on screen with the big spotlights.
All right, again, these are sounds that are absolutely burned in your mind. Let's go with number 5, Dylan.
Bo.
Mike.
Bo.
Game of Thrones.
You both watched this, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
See, I didn't even watch this, and I know this.
This song played us off of our, once we kissed the bride, it played us out the aisle.
Really?
Yeah, we had a little 4-piece little string quartet thing kind of going on.
Did you have a sword?
No, we weren't that dorky, but yeah, we were close.
Let's go with number 4, Dylan.
Mike, SportsCenter.
There you go.
There you go.
Easy enough.
That's such a classic one, man.
Right.
Golly, that's nostalgic to hear that. And I know that Rich Eisen did that like last week or 2 weeks ago. That's the sound of my childhood right there, my friends.
I never
heard
of
my childhood.
If I could ever, if I never have to hear him do another game, play by play,
he can be rough. Ugh. He can be rough, man. He's a little dry.
Let's see if you guys can get number 3.
Mike.
Mike.
Indiana Jones?
No. I see where you're going, though.
I know this. Bo. Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Oh.
Indiana Jones.
Dude, I heard it in there for a second. Then it didn't make sense.
Same time frame, though.
I've only seen bits and pieces of Back to the Future.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. You'd actually like it.
I think I would.
I think you could probably watch it with the kiddos too.
Oh,
think
for so? Sure. Mm-hmm.
They watched
for
Jumanji
sure.
last week. They
yeah, then
fired
you can
up.
Watch. You can watch Back to the Future. Okay.
All right, I will be super impressed if one of you gets number 2.
Oh yeah.
You know it. Dun, 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 dun. But what
I
is it?
I know that.
Yeah. What is it? You had to have cable, or I guess you had to pay for extra.
I was gonna say it's not HBO though. Is it HBO?
It's HBO.
Yeah.
It is HBO.
All I can think about is HBO with the little white noise screen, and then
TV
clicks off, but that's at the end, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's a good one, though. That's a good one.
One cupcake to finish it all.
Bo.
Mike.
You both can just say it.
Jeopardy. I got it first, though.
Boy, that one is ingrained in your mind, though.
Isn't it amazing? You can't remember what you walked in this room for, but you can remember all of that.
I know. Good stuff.
Congratulations, man. Both of you. I hope that put you in a good mood
nostalgic.
This morning.
Nostalgic. I
it's
love it.
Powerful. Coming up, yes, we're going to talk about that Falcons game. What did Raheem have to say? You'll hear that. And we're also taking your calls, 404-726-0929. Let us know your thoughts. You can also tweet us at 929 Morning Shift. That's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.